You have your Bibles with you this morning. We'll be looking in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 this morning. Last week we began our study through the book of Nehemiah and asked the question, does anybody care? Does anybody care? And we talked about Nehemiah's deep concern, his deep care over what he heard about those who were still in Jerusalem, how he sat down and wept and grieved over the great trouble and shame that had come upon his people. And I challenged you with the question, do you care? As we think about where we are in our community and in the life of our church, do we care? Do we care if walls are broken and the gates are burned? And if we care, then we will weep and we'll pray. And that's what we find Nehemiah doing, praying. And when we come to Nehemiah chapter 2, we move ahead in the timeline. We began in chapter 1 in the month of Kislev, which would have been around November or December, thereabouts, in our calendar. And they were at their winter palace, if you will. And when we begin chapter 2, we're in the month of Nisan, which is around the end of March, April. So 4 months have passed since we've heard from Nehemiah. When we left him 4 months ago, he was praying to God that he would grant him success and favor with the king. So for 4 months, Nehemiah has been praying, fasting, waiting for the time and opportunity that God would provide to him. It must have took great faith for Nehemiah to wait and to pray. In chapter 1, he's weeping and praying, and in chapter 2, he's waiting and praying. Nehemiah was a faithful man. And I think this text today is calling us not only to be concerned, not only to weep over some things we talked about last week that are hard numbers that we looked at. In the last 2 years, we've baptized one person. Those are hard numbers to look at and to think about. And I hope you're concerned about the number of people coming to faith in Christ through the ministry of the people of New Friendship Baptist Church. I hope you're concerned about that. And I hope it breaks your heart. And I hope that you're concerned so much that you're like Nehemiah praying, God, what can be done? What can I do? God, show us. I hope that's your prayer because that's my prayer. Are you a person of faith? That's what today's sermon is about. Do we have faith in God? What do we have to do? We have to have faith. Where do we need to go? We need to go to God in prayer, in faith, believing that He can still use us, that we can still be instrumental in God's kingdom in this place. Nehemiah chapter 2 begins this way. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Remember, Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer. Now, I had not been sad in his presence. Can I stop right there for a minute? Think about this. For 4 months, Nehemiah has been praying, fasting, no doubt weeping over the condition of his people. And for the last 4 months, he had not shown sadness in front of the king. And the king said to me in verse 2, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid, and I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter at Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me the timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked. Needless to say, that's enough to shout about, right? But Nehemiah doesn't stop there. For the good hand of my God was upon me. The good hand of my God was upon me. God, I pray this morning that as we look into your word and as we look at this text, God, that we would ultimately see your good hand upon us. God, that you would help us be a people of faith. God, that we would be like Nehemiah, faithfully praying for the right opportunity to do things that only you can accomplish. God, we ask that you would speak to us today. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen and amen. What must we do? What must we do? So if you're a person that is concerned about the state of our church, then surely you have to ask the question, what must we do? I think we have to have faith. We must have faith to wait. We must have the faith to wait. Nehemiah's been waiting for 4 months. He was weeping and praying. He was waiting and praying. Warren Wiersbe says this about true faith. He says, true faith in God brings a calmness to the heart that keeps us from rushing about and trying to do in our own strength what only God can do. This really is exemplified in Nehemiah's life. He was a man who was patiently waiting on God to move. Notice how he ended his prayer in verse 1. We looked at this last week. He asked God to give him success today and to grant him mercy, right? That the king would have favor upon him. And 4 months later, as Nehemiah is in the presence of the king and the king notices that something is different about this man, he is saddened of heart. And in that moment, God gave Nehemiah favor. Many times we want to rush ahead of God, don't we? We want to get out ahead and we want to go as fast as we can and do as many things as we can. And we want to, in essence, outpace what God might want to do in us. But truly, we should be a people of faith who want to wait upon God. Over and over again in the Scripture, it teaches us that, quite frankly, we need to stand still. In Exodus, it says, stand still and wait on the salvation of the Lord. In Ruth, it says to sit still. And in Psalms 46, it says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we get so busy doing the things of God that we forget to wait on God. Just to be still, to hear from Him. When we wait on the Lord, we wait on Him in prayer. Some of us think that is a waste of time. Think of all those months that passed by for Nehemiah, right? 4 months, he could have been doing something. Can I suggest to you that he was doing the only thing that he could do? He was praying. It's the only thing that we can do. We're not wasting our time when we spend it in prayer. We are investing our time when we spend it in prayer. Because it is in prayer that God begins to prepare both us and prepare our circumstances so that His purposes can be accomplished. If we're going to see God do great and mighty things through us as a people of God that meet in this place, then we have to be a people who wait on Him in prayer. Waiting on God in prayer is not inactivity. It is the most active thing that we can do, because we are inviting God to prepare us, to order the circumstances around us in such a way that His will be done. After all, isn't that what we should want? Should we not want God to do what God wants to do? Many times I think we do what we want to do and hope that God blesses it. We can get caught up doing so many good things. But my friends, I want to do the right thing at the right time. And this was Nehemiah. He had the faith to wait so that when that right time came, he was ready to act. And when that right time comes, we need to be ready to act. We need to act in faith because we have prayed in faith and we have waited in faith. And when the opportunity arises, we will stand up without delay and take action. Notice at the end of verse 2, remember, he spent 4 months in prayer. Not once had he been sad in the presence of the king. And now the king sees in his face what's going on in his heart. And at the end of verse 2, he says, "Then I was very much afraid." I was very much afraid. That's a comfort to me. Because sometimes we might have the notion that if we pray and we wait and we hear from the Lord and we're ready to act, that somehow we might not be afraid to act. But even doing the right thing at the right time can make us afraid. Nehemiah is very transparent with how he's feeling in this moment. I mean, this is the moment that he's waited for, but yet he is still afraid. When we're afraid, we still must have the faith to act. Not only must we have the faith to wait, but we have to have the faith to act. Notice what he said in verse 3. "I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever.'" Why is that important? It's important because the king could have dismissed him. Being sad in front of the king wasn't what you did. Having his heart in some other place except for the king's business, it was not good. Remember, he's the cupbearer for the king. So he makes this proclamation, "Long live the king," right? "Let the king live forever." And then he says, "Why should not my face be sad? In my hometown, in my home city, where my family is buried, that place lies in ruins. The gates have been destroyed by fire." He appeals to the king in a very empathetic way. He's wanting the king to empathize with him over the state of his hometown. And the king obliges and he says, "Well, what are you requesting?" And notice what he does at the end of verse 4. Here's the moment he's been waiting for. The moment to say to the king, "This is what I need to do." And the king says, "What are you asking? What do you want me to do?" And in that moment, Nehemiah says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Now think about that for just a moment. I don't believe that Nehemiah dropped to his knees in front of the king and began to pray. And prayed in a prolonged way. I don't think he stopped to pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I believe that Nehemiah prayed what some people call an emergency prayer, right? "God, help me." Or in his mind, he thought, "Lord, I need your help in this moment," right? It was just an instance of prayer, just a small little phrase of prayer to God. "So I prayed." Listen, We should never discount the power of an emergency prayer. Here's a man who had been praying and preparing and planning for 4 months, and in that moment where he felt afraid, he offered to God an emergency prayer. God, help me. Help me in this moment. He might have not even spoke it aloud, but in his heart, he was a man of prayer, and he knew that God would help him. So he said to the king in verse 5, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" That had to be quite the comfort. Nehemiah was a man who had the faith to ask for what he needed. And in these verses, we see him asking for exactly what he needed. He needed to go to rebuild the city. Verse 5 ends that way, "that I may rebuild it." And the only question that the king had was, how long were you going to be gone? That would have caught me by surprise. I mean, the king could have said, "Listen, you're the cupbearer. You can't leave. You can't be gone. You have to be here." He could have told him flat out, no. Sometimes we get so afraid of what our employer might think when we ask that we fail to ask. I can't ask off for vacation to go on a mission trip. They'll never let me do that. How do you know? Did you ask? We have to have the faith to ask. Verse 6 says, "When I had given him a time." Think about that phrase for a moment. It pleased the king to send him when he had given him a time. That has to tell us that Nehemiah not only was praying, but he was also planning. How in the world would Nehemiah have any idea how long it was going to take to rebuild the wall, the city, all those things that he's going to do in the next few chapters? How would he know how long it was going to take? Well, he was a man of faith. A man who had studied the scriptures, and he knew how to sit down and to count the cost and to go through wisely and plan. And it all happened during his time of prayer. 4 months he was praying, preparing, planning. And when the question came, how long are you going to be gone? He said, "This many days I'm going to be gone. This is what it's going to take." Preparation also happens in prayer. There's no time that's given in this particular text of how long he's going to be gone. But over in chapter 6, we see that it took 52 days to rebuild the wall. 52 days. Think about that. In chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. 52 days. Verse 16 is the most important verse. It says, "And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." 52 days. Nehemiah had the faith to ask. When we wait in prayer and we allow God to prepare us and then we act in faith, God does something through us that only God can do. And here the enemies of the people of God heard what was taking place in Jerusalem, that the wall had been rebuilt in 52 days, and they were afraid. They were literally shaking in their boots because God was working through his people once again. And when God was working through his people in the Old Testament, they were unstoppable. Now think about this. When we wait and pray, allowing God to prepare us, and when we ask the right questions and we get the answer that only God can give, then our enemies have no other choice but to see God working in us, and they will begin to shake. Most importantly, the enemy of us, who is Satan, will begin to shake in his boots because God is once again working in his people. Friend, do you want God working in us? Do you? Nehemiah asked for what he needed. He was a man who had faith. Faith enough to wait, faith enough to ask, and then we need to have the faith to go. You see, it wasn't just merely asking the king, but it was the faith to go and accomplish what God had prepared in his heart to do. Nehemiah was about to set out on a God-sized adventure, something that only God was going to do, something that only God could do. So we find in the next verses that Nehemiah asked for a few other things. And these are important. In verse 7, he asked the king for letters to be given that would let him pass freely through these other countries. In other words, he's asking for the king's protection. And then he also names the keeper of the king's forest by name. And he says, I need timber. So not only does he ask for the king's protection, but he also asks for the king's provision. He wanted the king to provide the materials to rebuild the gates of the fortress of the temple and the wall of the city. He was pretty bold, was he not? He knew exactly what he needed, though, for God to work through him. So he asked for these things. And the good news is, at the end of verse 8, the king granted to him these things. The king gave him the protection that he needed. He also gave him all the provisions that he needed. Do you believe that we've been given a commission? Do you believe that we have a God-sized adventure in front of us? Do you believe that God wants to work in and through us as His people in this place? Do you believe that even though the last 180 plus years of this church has been good days, do you believe that the next 100 years are better days? Do you believe that God can still do something great through His people that meet here in this place that call themselves New Friendship Baptist Church? Do you believe like Nehemiah believed? Are you a person like Nehemiah? Listen, friends, we have been given a commission to go. We talk about it all the time out of Matthew chapter 28, right? That we're to go to the nations, that we're to make disciples of all nations, right? Do you know what Jesus says right before verse 19? He says, all power is given to me, right? And I am sending you out. Think about this. When Jesus sent out his disciples in Matthew 10, he promised them that he would go with them, that he would provide for their needs, that they did not need to be afraid. And when Jesus sends us out in the Great Commission, he does the same thing. With all the weight and authority of heaven and earth behind us, he is sending us out. And not only that, not only do we have his protection, but we have his provision. He promises to be with us, even into the end of the age. We have the promise of his presence with us. So we don't have to be afraid. God is doing something in us, and we must go where he sends us, and we must do the work that God has called us to do. So friends, will we do it? Do we have the faith to go? When we have wept and prayed, when we have waited and prayed, when we've acted in faith, will we go forward? Will we go in faith, knowing that the good hand of God is upon us? Do you believe the good hand of God is upon us? Can we say that? I hope that not only we can say God's hand is on us, but that as we go, as we share, as we tell, that people will say, about us. Only God could do that. God is with His people.